The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open this evening to 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 4, where we'll finish up that verse, and then have the doctrine of boasting at hand, as we'll get into that probably this evening. All right, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that you're in fulfillment of the command of Ephesians to be filled with God the Holy Spirit. We're told to do so, then we are told how to do so, and the mechanics for that is 1 John 1:9 and the rebound technique, where we are, upon completion of acknowledgement of our sins to God, in fellowship. We are predisposed otherwise spiritually, therefore, for the intake of Bible doctrine undistorted by the sin nature, and therefore profit and maximize our benefit in regards to having the Bible before us once again this evening. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in finishing up verse 4, as the verse itself presents itself, we see, based on the continuing evidence of positive volition seen in this local church, which that evidence is seen in their endurance, the continuing endurance in the face of much opposition, persecution, and affliction, as is so called in verse 3, that provides Paul for opportunity with a doctrinal basis for boasting in a sanctified way in them to his other local churches. That's the emphasis of the first part of verse 4. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God. And the speaking proudly here looks at an opportunity to express pride verbally in regards to this assembly. That's obviously with respect to the fact that they are living proof of God's plan being fulfilled in spite of opposition and conflict in Satan's world otherwise, especially under the terms of election and calling here, even in his phase 2 facet. And that provides, because they are enduring, because they can continue to hang in there with the pressures and testings going on with them, it provides opportunity here for Paul in regards to, in a sanctified way, to, if you will, present them before the other churches as a source and encouragement to each and every one of them to continue to hang in there in regards to their own Christian lives and with respect to the personal testings they may be facing at their level. Obviously, not that we like to see anyone under testing and in pressures in life in this regards, those that are and those that continue to hang in there with NPR and application of doctrine otherwise, when we hear this, it does serve to help our morale ourselves that yes, we can do this. Yes, it is possible. Yes, God does provide when we're intellectually honest. And therefore, we can hang in there along with the other saints throughout history, obviously, that have also hung in there because we do live in Satan's world, and what else would you expect when you're standing for something that the majority of the world is in open opposition and hostility to at some form or level, if not across the board. So the churches, Paul's other churches in his ministry, here in regards to this local church. Obviously, his boasting is restricted to these other churches because anyone outside the understanding of doctrine, of what sound doctrine means, would not have a true appreciation in regards to what is going on in their, in this local church's lives, because they are out of touch in regards to what true pressure, undeserved suffering means, and one stand for sound doctrine otherwise. And in that respect, while doctrine is the pillar for the boasting, obviously, again, the opportunity for boasting lies in the fact that these individuals continue to remain positive. And their positive volition here is described by Paul by dual virtues, which is expressed here in the second part of the verse, for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. And here the term perseverance and faith are the two dual virtues that go along, if you will, parallel in their persecutions and afflictions, are the two dual virtues that Paul highlights. The first term, as we saw, perseverance, hupomone in the Greek, means patience towards circumstances and situations in life rather than patience towards people, circumstances in life. Obviously, hostility may not always be, the hostile person may not always be in your face, but they can do things to make your life miserable even without being present with you. And hence, it's looking at the circumstances and situations in life that these believers continue to field with doctrine in that regards. So just pick up point 26 here, page 9 of our notes. Finish this final page off. It depicts life, perseverance, our term here, hupomone. It depicts life in the angelic conflict as a patient bearing of stress and pressure. Views life, if you will, as a weight or a burden that the adjusted believer endures and waits for God to change. 27, it looks to the discipline of not overreacting to the pressures encountered in the Christian way of life, capitulating to the STA, the knee-jerk reaction of energy of the flesh to try to provide oneself relief in regards to what they are facing otherwise. Again, we're dealing with believers who are undergoing undeserved suffering, suffering because they simply are standing for the truth of doctrine in their own Christian lives. And again, we are in a conflict, a spiritual warfare. That spiritual warfare is divided verbally between the two viewpoints of life of which one adheres to one way or the other, either human viewpoint or divine viewpoint. And when one adheres to a philosophy, ideal viewpoint of life that others do not like, and they are opposed to, generally you'll have some type of adverse reaction. And indeed, when the divine viewpoint is the minority of viewpoint in the world, then you can expect persecution to come about, conflict, reactions in an adverse way because of what you stand for in regards to the truth. And this creates pressure. This creates burdens. This is not fun. It's emotionally burdening in many cases, if nothing else. So to persevere looks at the fact that you are willing and able to overrule your STA sufficiently, disciplining your life not to run amok and become a coward spiritually and try to run away from these things in life, but you're willing to stand firm, stand tall in the face of the bombardment of persecution you may face. 28, the STA does not enjoy or tolerate suffering that is foreign to its nature. Like water, the STA seeks a path of least resistance, that which is comfortable and appealing to the lust grid. A doctrine, obviously, that believers early on need to become acquainted with, need to gap and recognize and understand, and that is in regards to living in Satan's world, it's not only an outward battle that we face, but there is also an inward conflict. And that conflict exists because we live in a fleshly body that is predilections are prone towards those things which are sinful or antagonistic in regards to the truth. The flesh doesn't like to be told, do this, don't do that. It has its own areas of appeal. It does not like things that go against the grain of its predilections. Generally, the flesh does not like suffering. That's why pain is often used in regards to getting the flesh under control. It doesn't like that, so it'll stop doing what it's doing to avoid that. And generally speaking, the SCA will always look for the easiest way out in regards to facing pressures, things of this nature, in regards to one's life in that respect. And you've got to deal with that, and you've got to learn to recognize when the SCA, the energy of the flesh, is engaging itself, and recognize that's not the direction to go, and to overrule it through rebound and employing Bible doctrine in its stead. So 29, now this patience, this perseverance, is not a stoic resignation towards the circumstances of life, like one gives up. See, well, that's just the way life is. You hear that kind of attitude, and you just kind of shake your head for people with attitudes like that. You know, it's depressing even being around people like that. No, it's not a stoic resignation, but instead it is a heroic endurance based on the fact that one is involved in the correct cause. You keep on keeping on because you know that's what's right. You know that's what God expects of you. And you know that it is that path in life that you choose, doctrinally speaking, that will have the greatest benefits for you ultimately, for all times and for all eternity. So 30, embracing the doctrine of resurrection and the bema seat judgment, we are able to tolerate, even with inner happiness, inner joy, plus H, whatever is unpleasant in the Christian walk. Those things that just don't meet your fleshly standards on occasion. See. So 31, now the second noun, faith, is once again active, and here emphasizes faith rest. As I brought out in the parsing of the verse in the Greek, there's one single definite article that governs both the nouns perseverance and faith. And Paul uses that definite article with this noun faith to emphasize active faith over passive faith in his writings in Thessalonians. And so here we have an active faith, and the faith specifically is faith rest, faith in Bible doctrine, faith in God, active faith placed in that object. And faith rest means exactly what it sounds like. You put your trust, you relaxed. Faith rest provides another phrase that we commonly use with the acronym RMA, relaxed mental attitude about things. To have a relaxed mental attitude rather than being wrapped tighter in a drum. We had an old saying over in Nam, those people are getting short, that they're, you know what, is tighter than BBs. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, ask somebody around you. So, in contrast to that, one's relaxed. One has RMA. So 32, this means they put their trust in God and the doctrine to which they zealously adhered, rather than to their own ideas and to their own energy of the flesh, the SCA-sponsored avenues of approach to things. 33, in spite of the increasingly difficult situation surrounding this local church, since the missionaries' departure, they are dealing with it according to the doctrine they receive. Their faith rest is evidenced in regards to their continued application. They are taking the doctrine, they're applying it to the situation, and they're not allowing the situation themselves to deter them, distract them from making doctrine their number one responsibility and focus and goal and zeal in life in regards to what they accomplish. See? To commit yourself to doctrine that you do not let obstacles get in the way. They may try, They may temporarily be successful. But ultimately, they will not cause you to crash and burn spiritually. And that demands that you take doctrine, you're committed to it, you stay focused on it. And then you implement it. You've got to apply it. If you don't apply the doctrine, it's not doing you any good. And in spite of the hostility, etc., their faith rest is recognizing the fact that they believe that the doctrine is true over and beyond anything else they may face otherwise that apparently or seemingly is contradictory to that. One on the outside of the world would say, is it worth it to put up with this kind of hostility? Just compromise. So that's the nature, that's the attitude of the world today in regards to nations to nations. Well, let's just find a way to compromise, see, rather than pursuing what is right and then dealing with it at that level. And again, it doesn't mean that one's particularly a hawk by political virtue in that respect, because one believes that, but on the other end of the coin, one is neither is one to be a liberal, a bleeding heart liberal, and let things go that are not right for the sake of compromise. So 34, they did not compromise their faith. See, the faith rest means that you don't compromise, nor did they panic. Fear, obviously, is void of faith rest. Fear is the opposite of faith rest. They didn't get out of joint, become cowards, and run from the truth and capitulate to the pressures in order to, you know, get the dogs off their back. Rather, they held firm, doing the things that believers are supposed to do in the midst of all the persecution. They continued to simply go on with life, endured what they had to endure, applied doctrine. Obviously, when one's in the pressure of testing like this, one generally has a healthy prayer life. So obviously they would maintain that regimen. And they kept on hanging in there, fighting the good fight, and holding on to the truth. While the swirl of hostility, negative volition, in its ant-like way, swarms around them. See? That's a good visual in regards to the adjusted believer walking in Satan's world, where the world of negative volition is like ants just swarming all over the place. And then you had this one place, this one area of calm and peace. You know, and it's void of all this activity and things going on. That's the inner peace. That would represent the inner peace of the believer walking through a swarm of something like that. Ants can be very destructive. They have problems with them, have had for years down in South Texas. The army ants actually kill cattle. They swarm, and they are that aggressive. So 35, now that the circumstance of hostility is carried over from the first letter, which we have brought out in the introduction, and a reason for why we see some stereotypical writing between the two epistles, is now made clear with the dual nouns, persecutions and afflictions. They're doing this in the midst of all persecutions and afflictions. So 36, the noun persecutions literally means to pursue or chase. And highlights the ongoing hostility positive volition faces with negative volition in Satan's world. Negative volition often is not satisfied just to let people go on and do what they do. Negative volition and some forms of STAs especially have real strong power trends. And they want to control everything. And they want to control other people's lives. And otherwise, they cannot deal with being maybe confronted with the truth otherwise, and want and not dealing with their own STAs, and become angry or hostile otherwise. And rather than let just people go on their ways in Satan's world, they have to go in and try to do something about it. And I guarantee you, Satan is aggressive. And he represents the aggressive nature of negative volition in regards to persecutions of positive volition. Aggressively pursuing, trying to tear down the fetters, the constraints of Bible doctrine on people. So here, our noun persecution means to pursue or chase. And that is pictures negative volition, hostile negative volition in Satan's world towards positive volition. 37, positive volition does not have to drum up persecutions. Persecutions will find us on its own. You know, you have these attitudes that come out of certain sects, denominations, etc., that you've got to bring suffering on yourself. Self-induced suffering. You know, like the Catholics whipping themselves and doing crazy stuff like that. Why don't you just shoot yourself, put everybody out of your misery? Oh, well, I didn't say that, did I? That would involve having a gun. We don't want to talk about that. Oh, maybe an arrow. Okay. 38, this noun now, persecutions, correlates with their perseverance. They go together. Perseverance with persecutions, denoting the patience positive volition must have defending against the continuous antagonisms of the enemies of truth. In other words, the Christian life is not going to be just a simple attack here or there. It's something that you can expect continuous throughout your Christian life. The opposition that you'll meet if you are continuing to stand firm in the faith. And you're around people that are negative otherwise. And to accept a niche like that definitely demands patience, recognizing negative volition for what it is, and recognizing the fact that their onslaught and antagonism doesn't change God's plan otherwise. In fact, it's fulfillment of it. And these things will continue to be part of our Christian life as we face people that reject the truth otherwise. And therefore, patience towards circumstances of life is necessary to deal with your persecutions, whatever boat it may put you in otherwise. Often it can be financially, jobs. You know, somebody on the job, your boss doesn't like you all of a sudden because you're standing up for doctrine in some form or fashion. Not in a simple way, but undeserved. You know, cost you your job, you never know. Have people try to, I hear believers trying to tell new bosses, look, I want to work for you, I'll bust my butt and I'll work 24 hours a day if it's necessary, but not on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays mornings, see. And then sooner or later, sure enough, here comes the boss. Well, I need you to start working Tuesdays and Thursday evenings. And we're going to make it permanent. You know, what a test. That's part of persecution. That individual has absolutely no understanding, no appreciation in regards to one another person's spiritual life. So, you know, to persevere. You never know what circumstances, situation it may put you in. Otherwise. All right, now 39, where we left off. The next noun, afflictions, literally means pressed together, like in a vice or a wine press. Literally means pressed together and looks to the oppressions or pressures the believer experiences as a result of negative antagonism. As a result of negative antagonism. The afflictions are part of, or represent the pressures of the Christian way of life with the positive, adjusted believer. You don't even have to be adjusted, and you can feel the ramifications in regards to negative volition, their hostility otherwise. And that's how antagonistic the world is. You can be a lukewarm fundy, and just because you may say you're a believer, you can see it in Hollywood. You know, somebody just happens to slip, you know. Oh, I believe in Jesus Christ. What a religious idiot. You know. And then the next thing you see him bailing. You know, okay, back off. So, it's evident. It's around us. And afflictions looks at the pressure that it causes upon us. Obviously, hand in hand with the weight or burden that you feel. 40, now this noun, the afflictions, this noun correlates to their faith rest. Their faith rest, recognizing that God, first and foremost, will not place upon them pressure too great, a test more than they can handle, and the fact that He will ultimately vindicate their positive volition for standing firm. You take doctrine, you recognize the test is upon you, and with doctrine, you faith rest the fact that I can deal with this because God has promised that for me. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation or testing, literally, has overtaken you, but such is common to man. All men have tests of life. All men have their own pressures of life. We refer to that as common human problems in regards to their life. And in spite of the fact that maybe that which causes it is from antagonistic negative volition, still, it does not mean that others who are negative otherwise do not have their own pressures in life as they live in a dog-eat-dog world, see? And in that regard, recognize that. This is just living in Satan's world in and of itself. And continuing, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested, literally, beyond what you are able. In other words, you have, if you're facing a test, ipso facto, you've got the doctrine to deal with it. And God will provide the means to endure under that test and to pass that test. It doesn't mean that the test is going to end up the way that you want it to end up necessarily. I mean, nobody wants to die, but you may be under the death test. See? And that's what's going to happen. But God will provide. And the person that has the doctrine is able to deal with that test, that just being an extreme. Beyond what you are able, but with the testing, will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. And that looks at the points and times, whether it's through the doctrine itself, others around you, or God directly intervening in circumstances and situations. He'll provide sufficient relief. And life will go on. Obviously, for us in phase two, wanting to continue on running the race, running our course, God will provide deliverance and relief at all times and all steps for us in that regards. To make sure that, obviously, we're not going to crash and burn and not get the prize that we otherwise so zealously are seeking God for. So, you faith rest. You recognize, all right, God's got this under control. See, you bring in the doctrine. God is in control of all circumstances and situations. And He will provide. And His doctrine is true. And it's just a matter of hanging in there, dealing with my own STA, and simply plugging in the doctrine and applying it. Obviously, don't I make it simple? Sounds simple anyway. We understand this does not depreciate the real pressure that people are under. And Jesus Christ, His humanity, faced pressure that most of us will not even come close to. Bleeding blood. Sweating blood, see. That tells you His blood pressure was a little high. Oh, get him to the doctor, quick. Right. I'm just being cute. Never mind. Oh, never say cute to me. I'm sorry. Ken, slap yourself. Thank you. If you've been around for a while. You can call me what you want, but don't call me cute. I've said that before. So sorry about that. My mind's wandered. But I'm in fellowship. 40. Again, all right. The faith rests in the fact that you can pass your test. And then the fact that if you do hang in there, faith rests it, then you will ultimately be vindicated. That's 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance, i.e. SG3, which is imperishable and undefiled and not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a deliverance ready to be revealed in the last time, which these things will become a reality to us at the Bema in our resurrection bodies. And this you greatly rejoice. See, this is where your focus is. It's beyond the temporary, ultimately, into your eternal life. This you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, the pressures of the Christian way of life, in order to attain these things. And all that is necessary because it exposes what you are made of volitionally. And that is verse 7, that the proof of your faith being even being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 41, the final phrase, which you endure. Which you endure here of our verse. In the midst of all your persecution and afflictions, which you endure. The final phrase, which you endure, hosts an echo, literally means to exercise self-restraint. To exercise self-restraint. And points to the disciplined practice of overruling the FCA to sustain their positive volition. To utilize self-restraint, not to let your FCA get the best of you and demand the course of action to take. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another, enduring with one another. Here, as fellow believers, we all got STAs, you know, and sometimes our STAs act out. Not to excuse it, not to coddle it, but to recognize it as a fact. And in that case, we obviously have to endure with one another, bear with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, as the Lord also forgave you, so also should you. Not to allow your feelings to be worn on your sleeves, so to speak, but to simply forgive, to move on. If you need to talk to someone, talk to them. How tough is it? But the SCA often would just rather run around behind their backs and grumble and groan and complain about them rather than just, you know, deal with it. Yeah, all those things are not fun. Well, that's part of the pressure of the Christian way of life. You know, people get bent. That's or get bent out of shape. They can, but anyway, we won't go there. People get bent out of shape, and you got to deal with it appropriately, with doctrine, see. And that's, again, it comes from even those closest around us. I mean, you can't be married for very long and not recognize this. You can't have children for very long and not recognize this, bearing with one another. So, have friends, that's the way it is. Even your best of friends sometimes may do things that you don't care for, but you deal with it appropriately, according to doctrine, and use self-restraint rather than reacting with anger yourself under your own SCA. Forgive and forget. Apply doctrine and move on. It may mean you just get away from the situation, go and pray about it for a while. 42, the present tense of the verb endure here, keep on, which you keep on enduring, literally in the Greek, indicates that this testing was ongoing at the point of writing and that the readers were successfully standing up to them. And again, it doesn't mean they're perfect. Whatever else is going on around them, that church remains intact and going full steam in regards to application of the doctrine. 43, it looks to the willingness of positive volition to, quote, bear up, end quote, under adverse circumstances, to remain positive and enjoy the ultimate benefits of God's plan in conformity to His Son. It denotes spiritual strength, able to deal with heavy pressures in life. You know, like we might say, the elephant test in life. The big test in life. And that comes from working out on a daily basis, and that includes working out dealing with mosquito tests in life, the gnat tests in life. See, one can be just as annoying as the other, while one might be more painful than another. But still, you work at that, and you get yourself in shape spiritually. Applying on a daily basis, regular basis, establish your regimen, establish your NPR, your prayer life, make sure you're staying on top of your rebound so you can apply doctrine, and over time you build up strength. And then when the big ones come, see, you're in shape, you're ready to handle it in that regards. And it's weird, just looking at this, just before I came in here, I happened to catch on the internet a guy that squatted 905 pounds, man. Wow, you're talking about bearing up under pressure. You got to be in one of those strongman competitions. But, you know, you apply that in the spiritual world. While that is his boast, and he can get his glory in time, our boast is that we are spiritually strong, and we will endure whatever pressures come our way in order to hang in there with the truth of Bible doctrine. So, 44, this quality of positive volition should be a source of encouragement to all believers to continue to hang in there with their own test of life. Simply reading about this local church that existed, yeah, some 2,000 years ago, but they were real, real people, just like us. And no, they weren't a Neanderthal type of intelligence, as the evolutionists like to picture the people living way back in history. These people are smart, they're intelligent. Now, that's one of the things that the evolutionists will try to play over on you, that the people lived 3,000, 5,000 years ago. Somehow they were intellectually inferior to us today because we have technology that we have. Oh, really? But how come you can't figure out how they built the pyramids then if they're so intellectually inferior to you? Well, here we go with the persecution, son. Throw that out at them. And watch it rain back on your head. Anyway, postulation, this kind of postulation, these believers, they were hanging in their tests, wrapped in their own packages. And in fact, they are facing things that, Paul in his ministry, he faced things that hopefully I won't have to ever do that, be shipwrecked or whatever. The worst that may happen is I have to lay a bunch of poop on some cruise ship, but you know, I won't because I'm out in evangelize. Anyway, there are certain things that we probably won't have to face, but we all have our particular tests, and we'll face our own particular persecutions in life. And to hear and read about this church, about these believers, how they stood firm in the early church. And then it only gets worse for the church basically at this point in time in history as Rome under Nero, etc., comes in and they start persecuting Christians on a big scale, mass scale, see. So these can hang in there. The idea is, well, why can't I? I can. Any one of us can. We are able. We have the doctrine. We have all the spiritual apparatus necessary and the power of God on our side in order to hang in there with our own test. 45, the positive volition can persevere under such hostile circumstances that there is no excuse for believers to be other than positive. Or whatever excuses people have. Now, I broke my nail. Can't go to Bible class. Oh, give me a break. Now, that, obviously, I'm being ridiculous. But you get the drift. People persevere. And people hang in there, enduring all kinds of sufferings and pains and distractions in regards to their life. And obviously, these will be evidence at the bema seat of what positive volition was capable to do and what God was willing to provide for. And they will be, obviously, in contrast to those who weren't positive, when to throw in the towel otherwise. And you'll see it in regards to very appearance and wealth, prestige, and their eternal life. So 46, God provides all that is necessary to flourish in the Christian way of life as long as the believer provides the requisite positive volition. You've got to obviously choose to believe it, to endure, to faith rest, make doctrine your number one priority in life, and God will intercede on your behalf through it all. And that, again, is underwritten by the doctrine of election and calling. All right, we'll get started.